This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dottiglia, along with Charlie Long in studio. Steve Geller will join us at 5:45 for our triple option feature. Charlie, a lot of Saints news today, and I think the one thing that stuck out to me, TJ Palmanetti, and TJ was a guy that he recruited in Louisiana for a while, in Texas. He was on that Oregon staff, and so he, I think, helped out the offensive line. He was the quarterback's coach. I think he actually started on the defensive side after that. They swung him over to the defensive side. He coached the linebackers. But he's been on that Philly staff since 2017 and worked with Jeff Stoutland. And I think Jeff Stoutland, if he's not the best offensive line coach in pro football, the list in front of him wouldn't be very long. And so he's got to work with him since 2017 as part of the running game and assistant offensive line coach for the Eagles. Now, I wish he could take the offensive line with him to New Orleans, but TJ's a guy that is someone highly regarded for, one, getting to work with one of the best in the business in Jeff Stoutland, and secondly, how they've been able to mesh everything up front. And a lot of times, Stoutland, he'd love to work with the centers and guards, and TJ Paganetti, he would work with the tackles. That's how it kind of broke down a little bit with the Eagles. So that's a big hire for them. I know they did everything they could to try to keep him, but it was an opportunity for him to get away. And I think with a lot of coaches, the same thing I think really kind of fell upon Joel Thomas. He had been with the Saints since 2015 as the running backs coach. I knew Joel when he was the running backs coach at Arkansas because he recruited the Houston-Dallas area for Arkansas. And, man, they always in the mix for a lot of Texas players, just not enough in the state of Arkansas. And Joel Thomas would recruit that area for the Razorbacks, came here in 2015, and I think he left last year feeling maybe I got to move a little bit. Maybe it'll help my career. And 1 year with the Giants and then back with the Saints as the running backs coach. And then Scott Tolson. Man, I scouted Scott Tolson at Wisconsin. He was a lightly recruited prep quarterback from Illinois. I think he was a two-star guy. First couple years at Wisconsin, he was a backup. Then he becomes the starter there. I think his record at Wisconsin, I think he was 21-5 as a starting quarterback. I think he played for six or seven different teams in the NFL. His career, in a lot of ways, is similar to Kellen Moore. He sort of bounced around once he got out of the college ranks, gets on with Dallas because one of the stops, he worked with Mike McCarthy. and Green Bay. So Scott was able to work with the quarterback group with the Cowboys, and then when they made the change and hired Brian Schottenheimer, he was not kept on the staff. So bringing in a lot of familiarity, certainly, with Kellen Moore and T.J. Paganetti, and also with Scott Tolson, who he knew from his days in Dallas, former quarterback. So you understand the position. And with Josina Anderson is reporting, they are very close to a deal to bring in Doug Nussmeier as quote-unquote offensive coordinator. But we've talked about it before because I've heard Kellen Moore say it, that, okay, somebody might have the title, but I'm calling plays on game day. I'm going to be the play caller on game day. And I guess his feeling is, hey, sink or swim, whatever. Hey, I'm going to make those calls. You can be part of the group along with TJ and Joel and Brendan Nugent, who they brought in last week, who was another former Saints assistant coach who was with Seattle a year ago, and Keith Williams, who was on this staff from a year ago as the receivers coach. Bottom line is Kellen Moore is going to be calling the plays no matter who gets the title of offensive coordinator.
So a lot of puzzle pieces are starting to come together on that offensive side of the ball as far as the staff goes. I want to start with TJ Paganetti, Mike, because I think his career has been very interesting. He's super young. You said that he started, you know, with the Philadelphia Eagles as an offensive assistant back in 2017. He's been there from 2017 through 2024. He won two Super Bowls there as an offensive assistant, by the way. But he's done so many different roles there. Have you noticed? And he started as a kid. He signed on to the staff when he was 28. He's 35 right now, by the way. And that's something that I keep kind of seeing pop up on social media, is that a lot of the coaches that, you know, Coach Moore is bringing in early on are all very young, just like him. So we'll see how they all kind of grow together. But TJ
Paganetti.
And
the communication part.
Right.
To be, man, okay. For you to motivate a veteran player and to motivate a 22, 23-year-old, it's different today. You can say, oh, football is football. No, you got to be able to relate to that player and be able to get him to understand what he has to do on his terms and your terms. You got to blend it. It's not just my way or hit the road. You got to be able to blend it with players. And, Charlie, it's a good point to bring up about the younger people here, like a Scott Tolson.
Tolzien's only 37.
With TJ. Keith Williams is a young assistant coach also.
Right.
So you got to be able to relate to the modern-day athlete. And Kellen Moore is no old man coach either. He's a young guy in this business. So I do think it makes a huge difference.
So with Paganetti, real quick, Mike, 2017 through 2018, as I mentioned, he's played a bunch of different roles on his offensive assistant staff. I don't think we have his official title with the Saints just yet, but we'll find that out very soon. With the Eagles from 2017 and 2018, he was the offensive quality control / assistant offensive line coach. 2019 and 20, he was assistant running backs coach. And then 2021 and 2022, quality control coach offensively. 2023, he was a run game specialist and assistant tight ends coach. He kept the run game specialist title in 2024, but then once again, going back to what he was in 2017 and 2018, assistant offensive line coach as well, under the best in the business. Mike, you said that the list is short. I think the list is zero.
If he's not the best, and maybe somebody, you know, got an argument with you, but man, to me, Jeff Stoutland,
he's the best.
He was at Alabama. And I think it was 2011, 2012, in that range. And even at that time, I remember Pete Jenkins telling me, I think he's the best offensive line coach in college football. And he leaves there to become the offensive line coach with the Eagles. Now, Pete might have had a little say in that because he was good friends with Jeffrey Lurie. Not that they pal around or shoot pool together, but, you know, Lurie did kind of contact Pete on a couple coaches, and one of the guys he'd be open about it was Jeff Stoutland.
Right.
That he thought that guy should be coaching in the NFL. And they met, it all hit off, and man.
That worked out pretty well, Mike.
To look at the reclamation projects that they've done, you think about just a year ago, Mekhi Becton. Okay, he was a first-round pick bust with the Jets. Couldn't play at all. They move him from tackle to guard. He'd never played guard before. Look how well he played this year. Then you draft a kid from Australia.
Yeah, Jordan Mailata, who was a seventh-round pick, and now he's an all-pro left tackle. I mean, talk about player development. You lose Jason Kelce, who's a first ballot Hall of Famer, and you just bring in Cam Jurgens, and he's a stud as a center. Like, they have so many pieces on that offensive line.
You know, the thing with Kelce leaving was, and Stoutland, he's one of these guys, is that I don't know everything. He went to Kelce and said, pick me a guy to think could be your successor. And he said, that Cam Jurgens guy, he looks a lot like me.
That's why they used the second-round pick on him, Mike, and it worked out.
Nebraska guy, and they had used a second-round pick a couple years early on Landon Dickerson, who played a lot of center at Alabama, also for Florida State. He was a transfer guy, and they moved him to guard. And Cam took over the center position.
Give me all the smart and talented offensive linemen you can get.
And that Lane Johnson guy can play.
Oh, yeah.
He is something else. When we come back, we'll have a lot more talk about Kellen Moore from Joe Reedy, who's the AP sports writer out in Los Angeles, covered the Chargers while Kellen Moore was there. Also, we'll get him to talk a little bit about Brandon Staley, who looks to be the front runner for the defensive coordinator's job. Right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Welcome back to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long in studio and on our Oakwood Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line. Sports writer for the AP covering the LA Chargers, Joe Reedy. Joe, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon.
No problem. How you guys doing?
Doing great. Joe, haven't seen what happened, not last year, but year before last, in L.A., and certainly Harbaugh, man, he was the breath of fresh air for that organization. But from that 1 year that you were able to be around Kellen Moore, what was the vibe around Kellen as a potential head coach one day? But also he got to, you know, be around Justin Herbert. And there were a lot of things other than Herbert, so to speak. Everybody wants to point the finger at the quarterback, but there were a lot of other things around Justin that year that really kind of sank Brandon Staley's ship.
Yeah, I mean, Kellen came in as a head coaching candidate, no doubt. I think he interviewed with Carolina expressed interest before he came to the Chargers from the Cowboys. He wanted to build a more balanced offense, which, you know, teams have been, I think offensive coordinators have been trying to do with the Chargers for a couple seasons, and it just didn't work out. They didn't have the personnel in the run game. There were some injuries to the offensive line, and the receivers had some key injuries too. But I think that, yeah, you want to blame everything on the quarterback, but with the injuries and I think the struggles on the defensive side of the ball too, you know, the offense, there were many times when offense would put up 30 to 31 points a game and the defense would allow 34 to 35, which you're not going to won a ton of games that way when you get involved in shootouts. And that was a frequent shortcoming from the Brandon Staley era of nearly 3 years here in L.A. But I think with Kellen going to Philadelphia, certainly getting a running back like Saquon Barkley so they could be more balanced offensively certainly helped, and Rose's stature again.
Joe, looking at it in real time today, is what Jim Harbaugh wants to do in L.A., is it basically what we saw the Eagles do last year?
I think you've got to be balanced on offense in order to have a shot, especially late in the season. They've got talent. The Eagles got talent with a running quarterback and everything, and That certainly helps things out. Defensively and changing things around certainly helped out too. But I think that, you know, having balance on both sides of the ball definitely helped out.
When you look at it looks as though all indications point toward Brandon Staley being the new defensive coordinator with the Saints. I think for the image in everybody's mind is January of 2023 in a playoff game, they jump out 27-0 against Trevor Lawrence and the Jacksonville Jaguars. And they beaten them from pillar to post in the first half. And then to come back to lose that game to the Jaguars, and I think even still today, I think it's the third largest come-from-behind game in NFL history. I think that almost sort of sealed Staley's fate in L.A. I know they kept him, and, you know, to that, and I get there were a lot of things behind the scenes, ownership-wise and everything else, that played into that, but that seemed to seal his fate that he was not going to have success at the NFL level as a head coach.
Yeah, and I think there were a lot of shortcomings that got exposed in that playoff game that then eventually got exposed throughout his third season. I think that, you know, the adversity from that game, he didn't respond well as a head coach throughout the 2023 season. There were a lot of people taking him to task, and he battled a lot with the media. And there were some things with strategy and adjustments that he didn't fare well. He called the plays here on defense throughout his three seasons here, and whether he bit off more than he can chew or not is debatable. But his defenses were far below expectations here compared to his 1 year with the Rams. First 2 years, struggled against the run, decent against the pass. His third year, they improved against the run, and were giving up basically everything against the pass. You know, the 1 year in L.A., it helps when you have Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey as your cornerback, but also this team had Khalil Mack, Joey Bosa's pass rushers, and Derwin James in the secondary too. And this was a defense that routinely was in the lower fourth of the league in a bunch of categories: yards given up, points given up, opponent third down conversion rates. So I think it's gonna be another interesting learning curve for Brandon if he does get hired as the Saints defensive coordinator, as far as, you know, trying to transfer everything to a 3-4 and figuring out what that personality and scheme is.
Joe, one of the knocks, I don't know if it's fair or unfair, was that he weighed way too much on the analytics part of the game. And a lot of people would bring that up, no matter what game the Chargers played. That was brought up in part and parcel to how he called the game. Is that something that's fair or unfair to Staley?
No, I think it's fair up to a certain point, but I also think he had a bit of more over. He had a bit too much overconfidence in his scheme, and that the players can bend to the will of the scheme instead of, you know, adjusting your scheme to the players. I think the perfect example was when they brought the cornerback Jackson from New England to the Chargers. Jackson, you know, excelled in a man coverage scheme. What did the Chargers play 4/5 of the time? Zone. So you're not taking advantage of a player's maximum capability in what you're doing. You kind of think you can bend them to the will of your scheme instead of adjusting for the players and the personnel that you have. And and with the analytics, and also just maybe a bit too much overconfidence in oneself and one ability, I think that could be a problem down the line. Hopefully he learned from the tenure with the Chargers and maybe helping out last year with the Niners, but that's kind of we'll wait and see on that.
So the other side of the ball, the offensive coordinator spot, Doug Nussmeier is the favorite to land the job. It's only a matter of time, I think, before it gets announced here officially, Joe. And he also spent some time with the Chargers organization under Kellen Moore in 2023. He's kind of hopped around with Kellen. Like, the fit obviously makes sense. He's with the Cowboys and then the Chargers and the Eagles, kind of following him spot to spot. But what's kind of your early impressions of what you saw from Nussmeier when he was there in 2023?
I think he was a good calming presence in the quarterback room, and I think that that's a perfect hire for Kellen as offensive coordinator, especially with Kellen calling the plays. They're kind of wedded at the hip, so it's good that he has a coordinator that knows exactly what he's thinking and kind of have that symbiotic relationship. I know Doug's also got experience from being an offensive coordinator when he was at the University of Florida also. So he does have experience running an offense. So I think that would make a perfectly good pairing.
Joe, we got to see it last year, a guy that we talked about a lot leading up to the draft in Joe Alt. And I told Joe, I know I'm getting old in this business because I scouted his dad, John, when he came out of Iowa. And John's now the offensive line coach with the Kansas City Chiefs. But you look at him year one. Man, he didn't play like no rookie is all I know. Man, Joe Alt's a man out there on that field.
Yeah, and I think the good thing, especially about rookie offensive tackles and everything, is you didn't mention his name too often until the day after, which he did struggle in the Pittsburgh game a little bit because Rashawn Slater got injured at left tackle, so there was a bit of a disadvantage there as far as pass rushing and everything, and Joe did miss one game due to injury, but very solid season. And, you know, through two regimes, I think the Chargers are trying to get like the Dallas Cowboys with three first-rounders drafted on the offensive line in the first round and hopefully building a physical mindset in that area.
Your thoughts on Jesse Minter when, you know, Harbaugh brings him in, and he's a guy that – you know, you hear around the league, you know, that guy, he might have a chance one day to be a head coach in this league. Your thoughts on Jesse Minter?
Yeah, coach's son. His dad, Rick, was a coach at the University of Cincinnati and in a couple spots along the way, was an assistant at Notre Dame. Certainly runs in a family because Rick is a defensive analyst here, but very bright mind. Gives his players a lot of leeway because he's like, I can call the coverage and the scheme in the huddle, but it's up to you guys to diagnose and go get it. That allows the players to play very free and, you know, count on their abilities and not overthink things, which I think is Jesse's greatest quality. It's run fast, be physical, get to the football and attack. And I mean, I was a little surprised he didn't get any interviews this offseason just to kind of get in that pipeline and kind of see how he could do in interviews. But, you know, if the Chargers keep ascending, certainly the next offseason in the next couple years, he's going to definitely get his call. And, you know, even before coming to the Chargers, he proved himself in the national championship season against Michigan, especially in that Rose Bowl game against Alabama.
I know one thing, Ohio State fans glad he's not there anymore. He gave them enough issues when he was at Michigan. Last question for you, Khalil Mack and Bosa, do you think they back on this team in L.A. this season?
I think one of the two are back. Khalil Mack, you know, for an 11-year veteran, this is his first time he's going to be an unrestricted free agent, which is kind of a little surprising to say about somebody that's played that long. Joey's going into the last year of his deal. He's really been hampered by injuries and everything, and has been with the franchise since being drafted in 2016. I kind of think that a new location or a change would do him some good. But if they can get Khalil back for another year or two, that would definitely be a big addition to the defense.
Joe, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Man, I appreciate your insights and everything about certainly Kellen Moore and Nussmeier and Brandon Staley. And looks as though that Charger West is now Saints East.
Not a problem. Thanks for having me.
All right. Appreciate it. Joe Reedy, who covers the L.A. Chargers for the Associated Press out in Los Angeles. We'll be back with more Sports Talk here on the Big 870 right after this break. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelier along with Charlie Long in studio. Let's go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. Let's go to Jimmy and Gretna. Jimmy, I got to say this. Last night, I got to watch most of the second half with Southeastern and McNeese. That was a very entertaining game. McNeese pulled away late and bought the Colonels. Big win for them against UNO.
Yeah, man. Hey, you know what? UNO's got some work to do. Obviously, the budget cuts are in place. We got to save UNO. And tonight, UNO baseball plays the Pelican Cup against Tulane, Uptown. And I was just really calling up, you know, you got LSU baseball today, Tulane and UNO tonight, Uptown. You got Charlie's team, UL. You got my team, Southern Miss, is hosting Mississippi State. Listen, the parity that's in college baseball, it's still there, right? I mean, I know they're paying players, but it feels like, you know, when you have a situation where Stony Brook and Coastal Carolina win a national championship, for example, Stony Brook beats LSU, even Southern Miss beat LSU in the regional, right? So, I mean, the level of parity in college baseball, you know, Charlie's like, oh, UL's losing. And there's so much parity, Mike, that anything could happen. I think, you know, what college football used to be, you kind of have the haves and have-nots. Now, granted, I think schools like Tulane and Vanderbilt in football, they have rich alumni. They were seen as nerd schools and not football schools. But watch, Tulane and Vanderbilt's on the way up. They have the money. They have the rich alumni. I just want to get your take on that. There's still parity, it seems like, in college baseball, more so than some of the other sports. And, you know, you still have a chance to make a run if you are, say, UL or Southern Miss to the College World Series. What's your take on that?
Yeah, I think you bring up a good point. Far as money going to the schools, we're in another generation that I think maybe a few years ago, people of a certain age who had a lot of money, their deal was, you know, you handle that after I'm gone. You know, they tell their kids, you handle that after I'm gone. Today, you have a generation and a generation before that that says, okay, I'll give money to a school. I'll give it to them. I want to see what you do with it. So I think it's a changing world of college athletics all the way around. And there's no question in college football, that's going to be the haves and have-nots. I think that's obvious. But now, I think with the money out there, you're seeing another generation of people who have money, who support their schools, and not all of them are going to give it to athletics. A lot of times, they'll give it to the school if it's for libraries or, you know, whatever department they maybe graduated from. But I think we've entered an era where a generation want to see where their money's going to go. They're not going to wait until, okay, let my kids handle that. They want to see it themselves. And so that's a lot of people out there who got money. Okay, now that has changed also. I think there's a bigger gap between the haves and the have-nots of the world than ever before, I know, in my lifetime. But the people who have it and support a school, most of them, they're willing to give it up today if they can see some of the fruits of their money wager.
I guess my question would be, is the new era of NIL and transfer portal making it less? Like, baseball is inherently more volatile than other sports like football and even basketball to a lesser extent. But, like, last year you saw a lot of kind of the quote-unquote blue bloods making it to Omaha and even the super regional round. The one kind of Cinderella story was that Evansville team against Tennessee that, I mean, they took them to a game three in the super regional. That was really fun. My question is, will that kind of start to dwindle as we get further and further into this thing with the haves and the have-nots?
I think you're going to see a bigger gap.
Yeah.
And it's just not going to be in football. The gap is going to be there basketball.
And baseball.
And baseball.
I agree.
Because, okay, you might have, you know, people with wealth that'll give to an Evansville, as you brought up a year ago. But look how many people have money that'll give to a Georgia, or to a Texas A&M, or to an SMU, or to a Connecticut. Okay, that there is a certain amount of haves and have-nots in the college athletic world and also the university world of people who have money and are willing to give. And some people, that deal is, I'm not giving money for athletics.
Right.
I'll give money for a building. I'll give money to, okay, I graduated in business. I'll give it to the business college, or I'll give it to a nursing school, a doctor, a lawyer, attorney deal. But I do think, Charlie, we are entering the new world of college sports because people are willing to give up money that maybe their mom and dad, grandma and grandpa would have never done, give it today. And that's going to make a bigger difference.
I just want to rehash. Last year's Omaha field had 7 of the 8 teams were top 16 seeds. And then the one team that wasn't a nationally ranked team was Florida. It was a lot of, kind of big programs that made it to Omaha last year. So I think that, the gap, yes, there will be teams that can make runs in the college baseball postseason, and it is still going to be a very fun sport to follow as the season progresses. At the same time, I do think that this new world of college athletics is creating that gap in college baseball.
Okay, in college baseball, too, what's the other thing that's happened? From when I grew up, the further south, best players come into the SEC
yep.
or Southern schools. Back, years ago, it was more of a California, Arizona, Texas, where you saw the best teams, best players. Today, now, look the shift. It's still in Texas now, but it has shifted into the deep south. Best players, best coaches, got a lot of money rolling in college baseball today.
It's the decline of the West Coast teams.
Yes.
I mean, all these other teams that have such rich histories, like Fullerton or Long Beach State, all these other squads out west, even like Stanford. Stanford was national seed kind of recently, but a lot of the talent out west, as you mentioned, Mike, is coming not only to the SEC, but also the ACC, and it's kind of created the two power conferences in college baseball.
Man, Skip Bertman had a line, when I first took over here at LSU, I couldn't give away tickets. We'd have parents and girlfriends of the guys that played, and we maybe had 400 people watch games. And think of that. Look what's in the stands today for an LSU game.
11,000 on opening day?
And even a midweek game.
Right.
They got 8,000-9,000 people there. It's amazing the kind of catapult of college baseball all across the Deep South. We'll be back to finish it up here in our number one of Sports Talk on the Big 870 right after this break. Finishing up here in our number one of Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long in studio. Jimmy brought up about Tulane playing UNO, but that baseball game has been postponed due to potential weather issues and has been pushed back until April 15th. That's
yep.
a long run, April 15th. Charlie, you have everything LSU, Southern, that game's over with.
Right, it's over. Run rule in 7 innings. LSU takes down Southern 13-1, so they are starting the season off 4-0. Mike, it was a big explosion in the 4th inning. They put up 8 runs in that frame. The poor Jaguars relief pitcher couldn't find the strike zone, and LSU made him pay. So they really pounced on him. And on the mound, Connor Ware got the start through 3 hitless innings. Zach Cowan came in relief. I remember we were talking yesterday about maybe Cowan would be the guy that started that second game. So we'll see what Jay decides to do with tomorrow night's game against Nichols.
It's like he kind of knocked that one out of the park. That wasn't going to work.
Right.
When we come back at 5:20, we'll have on with us my old friend from Thibodeau, Scotty Sanders, former Major League Baseball pitcher, now covering certainly the LSU Tigers. Been a great guest for us. We'll be back with more Sports Talk here on the Big 870 right after this break.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids to a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.